The SEC teleconference was full of information yesterday. What did Josh Heupel say about this week of practice? What did Lane Kiffin say about the University of Tennessee and his time leaving Knoxville? Plus, a two-part conversation with Mark Nagy, former sports reporter and anchor at Channel 6 here in Knoxville. Also, Saturday Down South, OutKickTheCoverage.com, Fox Sports. He's been everywhere. A fun Thursday show upcoming right now on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols. It's your team every single weekday. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, on all platforms, completely free, and it's your first listen every day. I can't thank you enough for that. I'm at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols on Twitter, and we've had fun so far this week looking back at a big win against South Carolina, and of course, looking ahead for what's to come against Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. Listen, disclaimer right out in front. Today's episode, it's going to be a lot about Lane Kiffin. I'm bringing on, as you heard in the cold open there, I'm bringing on Mark Nagy. He's been in this market for quite some time. He's written some incredible pieces. He's the author of Decade Dysfunction. He's one of the key guys that was there that night, was around the press conference and on the streets, and just saw everything that went down. And he's very much involved, and I wanted to get his thoughts on Lane Kiffin and all that. I don't feel like I'd be doing my job if we didn't reflect a little bit this week. I understand the message this year is this team, Josh Heupel, these players, this Ole Miss team. I get all that, and I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but I think it is important to reflect a little bit, and so that's why we're bringing Mark Nagy on. We'll talk with him about this matchup against Ole Miss, and then the final segment of the show, we will reflect on Lane Kiffin and that departure here from Knoxville. So it'll be interesting. I put out on Twitter at Locked On Vols yesterday kind of how are we feeling about Lane Kiffin coming back to Neyland. Got some great responses, a couple of colorful ones that I'll try to read on the show tomorrow, but great job. And if you haven't seen that yet and you want to give your two cents, go ahead and find it at Locked On Vols. But going to be a fun show ahead. I want to recap a lot of what happened on the SEC teleconference from Wednesday before we get into my conversation with Mark Nagy. This is kind of the lay of the land here for today's show. It's pretty short and sweet and simple. Josh Heupel on the SEC teleconference yesterday said that it's been a good week of practice so far. Good couple of days of practice. They are stressing turnovers this week. Obviously, they've got to flip field position. They've got to create more chances offensively to try to keep up and try to overtake this offense that is Ole Miss. Again, as I mentioned, and I'll mention again tomorrow, but this is an Ole Miss offense that scores 46 points a game. That's third nationally. It's the nation's leader in plays per minute at 2.889. It's second nationally in 561 yards of total offense. It averages over 7 yards per play. It's got the nation's, I think, fourth best rush offense in the country. Of course, Tennessee is number 7 in that tally. I mean, it's a really good offense. Got a really good quarterback in Matt Corral, who's firmly planted himself in the Heisman conversation along with Bryce Young at Alabama and a couple of other ones too. So field position and creating turnovers, which Corral has not thrown an interception to date, it is going to be critical. Heupel also said, hey, we have the greatest fans in America, and for them to recognize what we're doing is exciting. The crowd has to be loud on Saturday so that we can use it as an advantage. Our fans have to play a part in this game and make it hard for Ole Miss to communicate. Josh Heupel said they didn't know if it's a surprise about the big jump in stadium capacity or attendance that's set to be there on Neyland Stadium on Saturday. Of course, it's a sellout crowd because he said the guys have been working hard and they're getting better and they're playing an exciting brand of football. And the fans are recognizing that, and he expects Neyland Stadium to be sold out many, many more times throughout in the future. So Heupel, an energetic, excited Heupel on the SEC teleconference, and I think he kind of speaks for all Tennessee fans about what's to come on Saturday. Should be a fun, fun game in Neyland Stadium. I said on a hit earlier on Wednesday night that, you know, this is either going to be a complete blowout that Tennessee, or excuse me, this is going to be a complete shootout that Tennessee barely wins, or it's either going to be Ole Miss drilling Tennessee, or it's going to be one of the teams winning 17-14. Just complete shock, right? Let's hope that's not the case, because I think everybody wants to see points and scoring and all that type of stuff. But man, I'm super pumped. This is one of the games that I've really been looking forward to covering, since being on the beat. Probably the most anticipated game since I've been really covering the team on the beat the last couple of years. Lane Kiffin had some good things to say about Tennessee's offense and Hendon Hooker. He said, getting ready to play a top 25 team, well, what should be a top 25 team. He's surprised Tennessee wasn't ranked with two blowout wins in the SEC with the offense exploding. Said that's kind of hard to do, and noted about the sellout once again, said that there's a lot of excitement around the program. He said on Hendon Hooker that he's playing so well, especially after not being the initial starter. He said what he's doing is impressive. His ability to run the football is a game changer. And he said for the second week in a row, they're about to play off a team that is a great rushing team. Again, Tennessee, seventh in the country, 253 yards on the ground per game. A lot of that has to do with that offensive line, that makeshift offensive line that has found a way to work. It should get better this week with the anticipation of Cooper Mays returning, Jerome Carvin going back to guard, Tyon Evans, Jabari Small, Lenith Whitehead, Jalen Wright. According to Highball earlier in the week, you know, that those guys should be ready to roll and should be able to contribute. So that's, or should have the opportunity to contribute. So, he's been encouraging on that front as well. But Kiffin said that a lot of people, much like Heupel said about his offense, that a lot of people get lost in the mass and thinking that, you know, they're going to throw it around everywhere. But no, it all starts with the run game, and Lane Kiffin recognizes that with Tennessee. Moving on about Lane's time, and this is a little bit of what we'll talk to Mark Nagy about coming up, but about his time leaving Tennessee. He said he doesn't think leaving Tennessee for USC was a mistake because they didn't really know what was to come when it happened. Talking about the Reggie Bush situation, the loss of 30 scholarships, the two-year bowl ban, juniors and seniors being able to transfer without penalty. He said he likes to think that things would have been a little bit different. The outcome would have been different if all that had not have happened. Lane Kiffin, on the night that he left Tennessee, he said this many times, but he said it again yesterday. The press conference was my idea, even though I was advised against it. Jimmy Sexton, his agent at the time, and others were telling me to get out of town, but I wanted to explain as to why USC was the only job I would leave to take. He said that he was also advised not to hold a team meeting, but he wanted to explain to his players. Lane Kiffin said that he doesn't know exactly how he'll be received at Neyland Stadium, but that the relationship with the Tennessee fans has gotten better over the years. I mean, I'll say that. There was a portion, small portion, but there was a portion of the fan base wanting Lane to come, wanting Tennessee to hire Lane in 17, wanting Tennessee to hire Lane this past winter when we went through this whole cycle again. And, I mean, hey, he's a heck of a coach. I don't know if I'll ever see, you know, the day where Lane Kiffin returns to Tennessee as the head coach. I don't see that happening. That's just me. But nonetheless, Lane Kiffin loves to poke fun. And as we talked about on the starting lineup this week, he wouldn't poke fun if he didn't like you, right? It's like that little kid that picked on you, you know, when you were little, or like, you know, if you were a gentleman listening to this podcast, you used to pick on a girl back in elementary school, chances are you probably had the hots for her, right? Even back in the day. If a girl picked on you in elementary school, probably because she liked you, right? Well, that's kind of how I correlate what Kiffin does with Tennessee, what Kiffin does with Nick Saban in Alabama, and even with the Raiders, man. He was poking fun at the Raiders a couple weeks ago. So one other note I want to get into before we get to Mark Nagy, and man, Ole Miss is incredible on fourth downs. 18 of 24. They've gone for fourth down 24 times, okay, and they've converted on them 18 times. That's 75%. So if you come out there and you stop them on three downs, well, depending on time, field situation, all that type, and analytics, according to Lane Kiffin, they might just go back out there and go for it on fourth down. So you've got to play a complete football game defensively. You got to keep things bottled up in front of you, bring pressure at key times like fourth downs, try to force Matt Corral into bad mistakes because he hasn't been forced into those just yet this year, but you know from last year that he's very capable of doing that. I do want to point out Ole Miss has played Arkansas, Ole Miss has played Alabama, Ole Miss has played Louisville. Obviously, a really good team, a solid team in the SEC, and then a Power 5 team that's not a slouch. Tennessee has played Florida, but the competition has been very different so far for the schedule and for the likes of Tennessee and Ole Miss. So, should be a good one. We're going to continue to break it all down tomorrow with my preview. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he'll join the show tomorrow as well. But today is about what was said in the SEC teleconference, a little bit of a preview with Mark Nagy, and of course, about Lane Kiffin. So let's go ahead and get to Mark Nagy. He'll join me here coming up in a moment. We're first going to talk about this Tennessee and Ole Miss matchup and what he sees in this matchup for the Volunteers. But before we get to Mark, let's talk about Sweatblog. It's doctor created, doctor recommended. It works up to 7 days per use. It's the dry shirt guarantee, and the Sweatblog doesn't keep you dry. You get your money back. It's been featured on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. It's been the bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews. Wear what you want to wear. It's your little secret of confidence, and this is the must for everyone's toiletry bag, whether it's for a big presentation on a Monday morning or a hot date on a Saturday night. Everybody can benefit from the likes of Sweat Block. You don't want the gut sweat. You don't want the pit stains. You don't want the back sweat. I know fall is in the air. It's starting to feel a little bit good. But guys, this is, you know, you might be listening to this here in East Tennessee, and we know how the weather is here in East Tennessee. It is drunk. I mean, it is drunk if we're being completely honest. So you never know when a 65 to 75 might spike up here on a cool fall day. So again, wear what you want to wear. If you or someone you love is dealing with these type of situations and issues, I encourage you to check out Sweatblock. Get it today, 20% off at sweatblock.com by using the promo code LOCKEDON. You can get it online at sweatblock.com, at Amazon, or at your local CVS. Want to welcome on to the show a guy that's been in the Knoxville market for quite some time, formerly of Channel 6, back when Lane Kiffin was here and then gone in the middle of the night. His name is Mark Nagy. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Absolutely, Eric. Anytime.
And obviously, this goes without saying, a monster showdown this weekend for Tennessee as Ole Miss comes to town. Tennessee, a lot of momentum, back-to-back blowout wins in SEC play. Ole Miss, a high-powered offense as well. Coming off of, you know, escaping Arkansas in a 52-51 shootout, I guess. What do you make of this game, you know, coming in and the vibes just around Knoxville right now?
Well, I guess, first of all, just the game itself. If you like offensive football, this is going to be the night for you, because Tennessee's offense is rolling. Ole Miss's offense is rolling. The over-under, depending on where you look, is around that 82-point range, and there's a decent chance that we're going to see something above that. So I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. There's a lot of folks talking about how it could match or even go above that 2015 Oklahoma kind of sustained noise. I think that that's really going to be tough to break, just because of what that four-hour period was like back in 2015. But I think that the crowd is going to be into it, and I think it's going to be a terrific night for Tennessee football. Tennessee football has been looking for something like this for quite a while, and you really haven't had anything matching this since the Josh Dobbs era ended. To have, you know, the nation's going to be watching this game. There's so much intrigue to it. And obviously the return of Lane Kiffin just adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah. And you can see that with, it's going to be a sellout. The school announced a sellout Tuesday afternoon. Tennessee's going to check her kneeling again. I know some people are for it, some people are against it, but the black jerseys last week, it just seems like Tennessee's embracing a lot of these fan interactions. And, you know, what's all this mean for the university? You mentioned it's just been starving for something for so long. And has it arrived? I don't think anyone can say that yet, but I think on Saturday night, we're going to learn an awful lot about how far this program has come here halfway through Josh Heupel's first year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to know a lot about Tennessee after that 60 minutes, or maybe even a little more. You never know. I think that what you're seeing here with this 4-2 start is kind of the promise of what Tennessee football could be in the Heupel era. Because remember, this is a team that still does not have a full roster of scholarship players. This is a team that really doesn't have that many of Josh Heupel's guys on the roster. So you think, if they're faring pretty well right now, the potential for this program a couple of years down the line, when Heupel gets all of his kids in here and this coaching staff gets all these kids in here, then you could be looking at a Tennessee team that is competing for, you know, a couple of days ago that, you know, Tennessee, hey, they control their own destiny in the East. Yeah, so if they won out, they'd get to Atlanta. I don't see that happening, obviously. But I think if you talk to folks after that Florida loss and said that Tennessee would be even at this point, I think that you would have, you know, you bet on that. I think you would have won a lot of bets. So I think it's just good for Tennessee fans to have something to feel good about for a little while. I mean, there's just been so much negativity around the program for so many years. When you find these small pockets of the good times, I think you need to appreciate them as much as you can.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, you know, South Carolina and Missouri, they kind of are who they are. But Tennessee took advantage of that and, you know, jumped out the hot starts and won those football games convincingly. Tennessee 4-2 under Josh Heupel so far at the midway point of the regular season, year number one. And the test is coming. You, of course, Ole Miss, you've got Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia. We're going to find out a lot. But right now, kind of how would you grade Josh Heupel in year one? I mean, it's got to be passing with flying colors, considering everything he's dealt with so far.
Considering the circumstances, I think that Josh Heupel is in that B+, A- kind of range. You know, there have been a couple of in-game decisions you can kind of look at and say, that was a little bit iffy. But overall, he's gone above expectations. You know, this is a Tennessee team, again, decimated by the transfer portal. It's a team that is still banged up. There's not a lot of depth in a lot of key spots on that team. And they're not only winning games, but the past couple of weeks have been winning games really convincingly. And I know that Missouri's defense was awful. But remember, Missouri was a slight favorite in that game. And while South Carolina certainly has their issues, Tennessee typically over the years sometimes had issues with South Carolina, especially during the Muschamp era. So I think that Josh Heupel, considering everything, has done an exceptional job. And even if they lose these next four games, it doesn't take away that much to me to the job that Josh Heupel has done.
Back to Ole Miss now, and of course, it's if you look at these offenses, it's almost just looking in the mirror. I know every team is different, I get that, but you've got what Josh Heupel's doing here at Tennessee in year one. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, Jeff Lebby, of course, spent time with him at UCF, are doing a little bit better in year two, but it all starts with the quarterback, Matt Corral, firmly in that Heisman conversation. When you see Ole Miss's quarterback, the challenges it's going to be for Tennessee to defend him.
Oh, it's going to be a tough night for Tennessee's defense. Now, I guess you can kind of look at it and say, well, Tennessee's defense goes against Tennessee's offense every day. So maybe they're going to be kind of used to that pace. But Corral is an exceptional college quarterback. And that's one thing that Lane Kiffin has done over the years. He's always found ways to get the most out of his quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Jonathan Crompton was going absolutely nowhere for a little bit over 4 years in Tennessee's program, with the exception of a small pocket, I guess, in 2006. And then he basically turned Jonathan Crompton into an NFL draft pick. And you can look through Lane Kiffin's career, and he's always found the ways to get the most out of his quarterbacks. He's doing that with Matt Corral right now. It's going to be a real test for Tennessee's defense to try to find a way to slow Ole Miss down. Because, and I think that people kind of look at Ole Miss and you say, okay, well, they're throwing the ball all over the place. That's one of the top five rushing attacks in all of college football. Yep. I mean, it's even above Tennessee's right now. So it isn't like Tennessee can just, you know, play nickel all the time and try and stop them that way. They've got to find a way to also stop them at the line of scrimmage as well. So I think Tennessee's defense is certainly better than it was last year, but this is absolutely no question the toughest test that they will have had to date.
And do you see whichever defense in the second half gets that big turnover, makes that key third or fourth down stop? Mind you, Ole Miss 75% on fourth downs, 18 of 24 on the season. That's incredible. But do you see it as it's going to be a lot of points, a lot of yards, all the talk's going to be on the offense, but it's going to be a defensive play or series that is the difference in this one?
You know, I remember the Ole Miss-Alabama game last year where Alabama ended up winning the game by 15 points, but it basically got to the fourth quarter and was like, okay, if one team can get a stop here, that's going to be all that it needs. And Alabama got that stop. Yeah. I kind of feel like that's what we're going to see on Saturday night. Just the momentum swing on either getting a team to not score any points or even just hold to a field goal, that can be enough to put one of these offenses over the top. It's just a lot of holding serve. I think that if you're Tennessee, certainly it'd be great to hold Ole Miss to 28-31 points. I don't see that happening. I think that if you went to Coach Heupel today and said, okay, we'll give Ole Miss 31 and that's going to be their limit, he would take that in a flash. So yeah. I think that if you know, Tennessee has been able to force turnovers the past 2 weeks. It's something they weren't able to do at the beginning of their season. Ole Miss does not turn the ball over. So one of those things has got to give here. And I think that that's going to go a long way towards telling you who wins this football game.
That was part one of my conversation with Mark Nagy. More to come and more on Lane Kiffin when we return here on Locked On Vols. But before that, guys, it's Rock Auto. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain of auto parts store to stock up on all the parts you need. So why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands and specifications that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers. You have access to rockauto.com at home and right in your pocket. So save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30 to 50, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts from your chain store or the car dealerships when you can get them online from a family-owned business that's been doing it to the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. It's a family-owned business. You can trust them. And plus, the prices are always so reliably low. They have everything you can possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps and motor oils, even the new carpets. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for all of your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com, and it's back. It's better than ever. It's football season, the pros, the college, all eyes. It's on the gridiron as teams are getting back toward another football season. And BetOnline is your number one spot for all of that pro and college action this football season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. That's 50% off a welcome bonus at your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. From football to basketball to boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, Martin Nagy joining the show here. Now he is the community relations officer for the Tennessee Department of Transportation. In years past, he was a sports reporter, sports anchor at Channel 6. He's written for Outkick. He still writes for Saturday Down South. He's written for Fox Sports. You've done a little bit of everything. Transitioning now, I know a lot of people say, hey, this game needs to be about the players that are here now. And I get that. But let's do my job here and let's reflect some. You were right in the middle of the night when Lane Kiffin left, man. I mean, if you can try to sum it up, which you have many times, that night, how was it and how bizarre is it looking back now, you know, over 10 years later?
It's been so long since that night and it's still bizarre. And I can live to be 500 years old and that night will always be bizarre. So much shock, anger, sadness, the wide range of emotions for Tennessee fans was remarkable. And I think that, you know, Tennessee, the thing that that night did was it told Tennessee fans that there's a guy that does not want to be here. And think about it this way. Johnny Majors had been the head coach of Tennessee for 16 years. Tennessee was his dream job. Phil Fulmer was the coach of Tennessee for 16 years. Tennessee was his dream job. Those are the two guys they wanted to be in Knoxville more than any place else. Phil Fulmer had NFL opportunities. Johnny Majors had just won a national championship. And they decided they wanted to be here. And then you hired a guy that after 13 and a half months says, no, I don't want to be here anymore. And what that did was for a long time, and I think still to a point to this day, it gave Tennessee an inferiority complex. And it's something that they've tried to find a way to fight through with mixed results. That night was just one of the most bizarre things probably the most bizarre thing leading up to Shiano Sunday. I remember never thinking anything was going to top the night Lane Kiffin left, and Shiano Sunday actually ended up topping it. So, you know, most fan bases never experience anything like that in their entire lives. Tennessee's fan base had two of those type of nights within an 8-year period.
Yeah, and of course, you detail a lot of that in Decade of Dysfunction, which you can still buy on Amazon, and I'll put the link in the show notes here for today. So go and purchase that book. If you haven't read it yet, I don't know where you've been, but Mark, Lane said in years past and today, or I guess yesterday on the SEC teleconference, that it was his dream job. He was advised not to have a team meeting. He wanted to explain. He was advised not to hold that, 65-second press conference. He did anyway. How do you think he's going to be received coming inside Neyland Stadium on Saturday?
Well, it's not going to be the anger level that you saw when he came back with Alabama as their offensive coordinator. I remember being in stadium that night and you could hear the expletives thrown at Kiffin from the entire stadium, especially the student section, but the entire stadium. That was an angry crowd that night. And with the passage of time, that's kind of dissipated a little bit. But I still think it's going to be an angry crowd. If Tennessee came into this game 2-4 and everything's going awful, and Ole Miss enters this game riding high like they still kind of are, even after the Alabama loss, Lane Kiffin would have kind of come into the stadium as a bit of a conquering hero. And Tennessee fans would have kind of waxed poetic. Some Tennessee fans would have waxed poetic. Oh, what might have been. But now there's a lot for Tennessee still to play for. So that crowd, I think that most of the fans are going to go into this game with that level of angry noise that you need if you're going to pull an upset. I mean, Tennessee nearly had, like I alluded to in that Oklahoma game, that was an angry crowd. You don't get a lot of crowds like that anymore. You had that in the 2016 Florida game. You had it in the 2015 Oklahoma game. And, you know, the results showed. I mean, Tennessee should have won that Oklahoma game. They did win the Florida game. Tennessee fans need that level of noise and sustained level of noise if the Vols are going to pull an upset on Saturday night.
Now, if Lane would have stayed here in Knoxville, who knows what would have happened? You know, the NCAA could have came knocking. They could have won a whole lot of football games, could have did the same thing the next year, whatever the case may be. When you look at Lane as a coach, there's no denying that he's a great offensive mind, and he's trying to become a good head coach. He's off to a good start at Ole Miss back in the SEC. When you look at Josh Heupel, way too early to tell. I understand that. Do you think Tennessee now has a guy that is maybe a football coach or maybe the first football coach since Lane Kiffin was in Knoxville, whenever you go over the corpse of Butch, of Pruitt, of Dooley? I mean, it's just been a long time. It seems like now Tennessee fans feel like, you know, we have a coach for the first time since Lane. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I think you can kind of look at Dooley and at Butch and to an extent Pruitt. And these were guys that had very thin skin and they listened to a lot of things happening on the periphery and it, you know, it had an effect on them. You know, with Pruitt more than it was, you know, he didn't want to deal with the public. Now, does it mean that Tennessee is going to get back to that 10 wins kind of run like they had in the Fulmer era? It's too early to tell. But you just get a better vibe from Heupel than maybe you got in the early days of Dooley and Butch and Pruitt. As far as Lane is concerned, had he still – I think that with the passage of time, people kind of say, oh, God, it was so great during that time. Well, Kiffin's highly recruited classes were paper tigers. You really didn't have the – you know, they never really lived up to the expectations either when they were at Tennessee or when they transferred later. So there's no guarantee that Lane Kiffin is going to set the world on fire with future recruiting classes at Tennessee. The other thing was that was a coaching staff that recruited to the very echo of the whistle. And I don't see Tennessee getting through that period a couple of years later without having Bruce Pearl type of level of NCAA scrutiny. So I think that in a way, if Kiffin had stayed, Tennessee would have kind of been in that, you know, you're never going to have the death penalty again, but you would have kind of been in that range. Hiring Derek Dooley, I've said this many times, was a de facto death penalty. So Tennessee was kind of screwed either way when you look back at it as time goes on. So I think Tennessee it appears right now that it's in as good a place as it could have been at the beginning of a tenure than we've seen for a long time with Heupel.
Last thing, Mark, I want to ask this, and I've heard this before, and I'm not sure. I mean, you know, you're a guy that might know this. During everything going on, the press conference, the riots out in the street and all that, was Monty Kiffin upstairs in the facility watching film?
I don't know if he was watching film. If he was, he was probably looking at the time Pac-10 opponents, yeah, because he was going with Lane and Orgeron to LA. But I do know that Monty Kiffin stayed in the football complex the entire night. He never left. Lane Kiffin left about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with security there with him to get him to his car. But Monty Kiffin stayed the entire night. So I'm assuming that there was a nice couch, a nice comfortable couch for him to hang out in. I'm sure Ed Orgeron was still just slamming Red Bulls, waiting for the chance to, you know, book his plane ticket to L.A. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Monty Kiffin was looking at film, but I do know for a fact that he was still in the football complex all night and did not leave until the sun rose.
from sleeping into the football facility, from calling recruits, telling them to not go to class, that Monty Kiffin, Ed Orgeron, of course, Lane Kiffin leaving for his dream job. What a whirlwind of a night, and you can check it all out. I mean, your articles still pop up every couple of years that I read, and you're still writing, don't get me wrong. Where can we view some of these awesome articles detailing that night? Of course, your book. Where can people learn more about the Lane Kiffin saga and everything else Tennessee related from you?
Sure. Well, I did an oral history of the night that Lane Kiffin left, and I did that for OutKick, the coverage, about 7 years ago. So if you just do a Google search for oral history Lane Kiffin left, you can find it there. Still write for Saturday Down South. It's in their Tennessee sections. I've got the Fearless Prediction article that's going to be posting on Thursday morning, so folks can check that out. And then, as always, Decade of Dysfunction. Look, like Latrell Sprewell, I've got a family to feed. So anybody wants to go and still buy that book, buy multiple copies. You got the holidays coming up. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So you can go to Amazon.com. Just look for Decade Dysfunction, and the book will be right there for you.
Shoot, a couple more chapters could be added to that. Who knows what the future holds, right? That's Martin Nagy, man. Thanks so much. Great insight, and thanks so much for joining the show.
Yeah, anytime, Eric.
Big thanks to Martin Nagy for stopping by the show, giving us two segments of his time. And here on Locked On Vols. That's going to do it here for a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Coming up on a Friday show, a complete preview, Tennessee Ole Miss, my game prediction, a whole lot more. That's coming up tomorrow, plus a chat with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Speaking of Chris, let's make him your second listen right now. You can find Locked On SEC 5 days a week by searching Locked On SEC. You made Locked On Vols your first listen. Let's make Locked On SEC your second listen to get ready for our chat with Chris Gordy tomorrow. So a fun show coming up here on a Friday. It's Tennessee just days away from a sellout crowd, Checker Neyland, and Ole Miss coming to Neyland Stadium for a chance to slow down the red hot Vols. Guys, I appreciate it as always. Thanks so much, and we'll do it again tomorrow. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.